For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I need to pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit
90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, doing really well. Really happy to be here today. Happy Halloween. What are you?
It is spooky season. You know, March.
What are you going to be for Halloween this year?
Of all the outfits, in this episode specifically, I'd probably do the Red Riding Hood one. It just feels like minimum effort, maximum slay.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, I'm glad that you're finally taking on a sexy Halloween costume. It's been a while. You typically go as a indigenous person or a knight in shining armor. I'm really happy that you're a dirty slut this year. This is such great news. I opted for the bunny costume just because I think Anya in the bunny costume might be the cutest thing that I've ever seen in my life.
That's fair. And it does look kind of like a onesie. Like, it looks like it would be very comfortable. Yeah. My biggest problem with the Annika outfit is that I would be very sweaty at any house party. Annika. What did I say? Annika. Anya.
Who's Annika?
I don't know. I was listening to a Survivor podcast that she was on earlier today.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's so why it's in my head.
It's relevant, but I was just like, Annika.
Anya. Yeah. Anya. I would just get sweaty if I was in that outfit, I think. But that's only if you're at a Halloween party. If you're like trick or treating and you live in the Northeast like I do.
It's not cold anymore on Halloween.
You're right. It isn't. But like back when we were kids, it was. It was once upon a time. So, I'm really excited to talk about this episode. Season 4, episode 4, Fear Itself. I love a Halloween episode. I love a holiday episode in general. And I really love a Buffy holiday episode because they go all out. They're like, it's spooky season. We're leaning in. I thought this episode was so much fun. And I loved, Sarah, how they continued to reference like, oh, well, if we get made into our costumes again.
Yeah, I did like that. I think comparatively, if we're thinking about that Halloween episode, whatever that Halloween episode was called, I don't remember.
I think it was just called Halloween.
I don't think that this one was as good as that one. I didn't feel like it kept my attention as much. Both of these episodes that we're going to talk about today, but I don't know, Jess, like I feel as though sometimes our view on television is just so affected by like what's going on in our like real life or like the regular day to day. So if like I'm not having a good week, typically I'm like, oh no, this episode is kind of boring. I couldn't pay attention. Mm-hmm. So it could be like a me problem now that I'm thinking about it, because it's been a week this last week. But also, I don't know, like I thought that like hearing their innermost fears and like seeing them projected in front of them is really interesting. It's kind of like the mirror in Harry Potter, where like they,
yes,
the heart's most desires, but it's like the heart's biggest fears. And I do think that that's pretty interesting, but I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I don't know how I felt about it.
Okay, I will agree with you. I definitely didn't think it was anywhere near as good as the original Halloween episode. It was season 2, episode 6, Halloween. I just wanted to make sure I was getting the name right. So I don't think it was anywhere near as good. And I feel like one of the main reasons is that was such an easy thing to, like, having them turn into what they were dressed as is very straightforward and very easy to follow. Whereas I was a little bit confused during this episode as to exactly what was happening, right? Like, okay, yeah, there's this like there's this like drawing on the floor, right, that is like witchy in nature. Oz bleeds on it, but then like, okay, then the spiders are becoming real. So in my head it's like, okay, so then all the spooky things are coming to life. So I kind of expected, oh well, I guess then whatever they're dressed as, they'll turn into again. But instead it got very confusing that like, no, it's your deepest, darkest fears. I don't really think that really meshed with the beginning of the story of like the spiders, right, and the skeletons and all of that stuff.
And then like, I don't know how it made sense at the end either, because then like at the end, it was like all a result by like some like tiny pocket size, like Mike TV demon. And like, that was confusing too. So like, I kind of just felt like we lost the plot. Like I felt as though the Halloween episode called Halloween, it had a concept, it knew what it was doing, and it stuck with the concept. And here I agree. Like, I think that there's like three different things going on, and I'm not quite sure how it correlates to one another, but I guess it was the tiny demon all along.
Or was it, because he was like a fear? No, so I think the symbol belonged to him, and he was a fear demon who, and like, he fed through fears.
Right, and he told the fraternity guys to paint it on the floor.
He's, I like, thought the one guy just found it in a book, but maybe
Please paint the thing on the floor. Please do it.
But I agree with you. Like, I think I lost the plot a little bit in terms of the actual supernatural stuff happening, but I mean, I know we've both said this, like we know people have said like season 4 isn't people's favorite season. Like, they like it because it's Buffy and they like Buffy, but it's not usually people's favorites. And so we've just been kind of like, you know what, we're going to vibe with the show. And so I'm just going on vibes of this episode, the vibes were immaculate.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess like the thing is that I don't like being confused because it makes me feel stupid, and I don't like feeling stupid because it's my biggest insecurity. My biggest fear is just to be a big, fat, stupid dummy. So when I feel confused, then I feel like a stupid dummy. And then like my fears come out. Yeah.
So listen, if you're a stupid dummy, so am I, because I watched this episode twice. And even after the second time, I'm like, I still don't quite get how the supernatural stuff works. But also I kind of don't care, because there's so much that I liked about what the episode did that if I'm like, I'm just going to ignore the parts that I found more confusing, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so then like let's break it down, I guess, by character. And of course we start with Buffy, because Buffy is still in her feels. I think I am confirmed. I know she's a Capricorn, but in my heart, it's confirmed to me that she's a water sign, or at least has big water sign energy, because my girl loves to mope. And as a fellow moper, I get it. So she's like still in Misery Bay because of Parker. Parker fucked her up.
This is like, okay, like I think you're right, because I was so frustrated. I'm like, girl, you fucked him once. You barely liked him. Get over it. Like, who cares about fucking Parker? Obviously, it is a bigger thing where it's like all the men in her life leave her. Her dad left her. Angel left her. Parker ditched her. I get it. But also, is Parker that great? Like, come on now.
No, but he's like, he's like walking around the campus, like big man on campus, like laughing all the time. How, like, that would feel awful if you were like feeling sad and you come across him in the cafeteria and he's spitting jokes and has like all these people around her. Buffy is like literally like, she's not making any friends. She's not doing well in her classes. She like isn't finding somebody to hook up with. She's constantly a fifth wheel between a witch, a vampire, no, a witch, a demon, and a werewolf, and a human. Like, she's a fifth wheel with a bunch of freaks, and it's like, it's just like not, it's not good times. And then top of that, the one person that showed a little bit of interest in her turned out to be a big jerk face that's laughing around campus. So she's like totally in misery bay. She's like so depressed. Like, everybody else is like having such a great time. They want to go party and they want to have a, like, you know, they want to go here, they want to go there, they want to go do a Halloween costume. And Buffy is like finding an excuse to patrol.
I'm gonna have to patrol. Giles is gonna want me to patrol. No, he's not, girl. You know what? Giles is in his fun time era. Okay. He has no job. He has no prospects. All he wants to do is wear a sombrero and hand out candy and enjoy Halloween. He is not being, and part of me loves this for Giles. Part of me is like, he's living his best life. And part of me is like, I think Giles needs a job. Like, I don't think he's okay.
Well, Giles is the epitome of being fun employed, which is like, I don't know, like the biggest ick is a guy that spends all day in a sombrero handing out Halloween costumes.
Did you see the amount of candy he had? Yeah. Like, how many trick-or-treaters is he getting?
Zero. That's the thing. He gets zero, and then he's stuck with all that candy. And then on top of that, like, he's not even going on Indeed.com. He's literally not. He's just like, he's not even looking.
I feel like he's just kind of like, maybe I'm retired now. But like, I do truly feel like he needs to be motivated in other ways beyond just being
48 years old or something like that.
Maybe he's going for early retirement. I don't know. Maybe he has generational wealth. He's British. They have generational wealth over there.
No. What are you talking about? His father, there's so many poors in England. His father was a watcher. Like, I don't think, as we know, they get no money. Like,
there are no benefits.
Yeah, there is no generational wealth. He's just honestly bopping. But, you know, Buffy goes over there and is like, I'm sure you want me to do this, that, and the other thing. And Giles is like, do you like the left or the right Twix better? And Buffy's like, there's no difference. And Giles is like, I heard a rumor that the left has more caramel and the right has more cookie. And it's just a big debate. Like, I still don't know.
Also, Giles, it gets the good stuff. I saw a lot of chocolate in that bowl. So I was very proud of him for that.
Yeah. No Tootsie Rolls for him. No.
I love a Tootsie Roll. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But
don't give me a lollipop. I will take, unless it's Tootsie Pop.
Yeah, okay.
But
anyway. No, you want to talk about something that's vile? You know what Tootsie Roll I do like?
You like the flavored ones, don't you?
I like the lime Tootsie.
Okay, I love the flavored Tootsie Rolls because, like, I'm also a weirdo who likes those, but I do not want the lime one.
Really? Well, you know what? Okay, no. The alternative is the vanilla, and if you like the vanilla, you're a sicko.
I know.
You're a sicko. Okay, so, but that works for us because if you like all of them but the lime.
Exactly.
And I only like the lime.
The limes.
And we are.
Do you want my lemons too? Because I don't really like the lemons. Oh, perfect.
Lovely. Yeah, that's the only one. I just want citrus. I live off of. Do you know how many Caracara oranges I've consumed?
I don't understand how your insides operate because you eat so many tomatoes and citrus-based things. Yeah. The amount of acid on the inside of your body is kind of wild. How have you lived this long?
I don't know. This winter, I have eaten probably like 200 oranges. It's literally, I like, it's pretty much all I eat.
There's a TikToker I watch who loves what she calls sumo season. And like, apparently a sumo is a type of like orange.
Well, yeah. I know those oranges. I've had them. I don't like them as much as Caracara. Caracara oranges are the best oranges in the world.
My problem is I hate peeling oranges because they leave a weird residue on your fingers and I just can't.
I also constantly smell like oranges. Like,
see, that's not a bad thing though, because that's a lovely smell. It's very fresh.
Yeah. Like if anybody's like, oh, I wonder what these people smell like. I smell like oranges always.
I don't know what I smell.
You smell like I don't know.
Human. But either way, so Buffy is a little bit of a Debbie Downer. She's having a rough time. She like skips psych class for quote unquote personal reasons. Her professor's real harsh about it. Is like, well, you seem to have all your limbs. So if you skip a class again, you're out. It's like, all right, bitch. Like sometimes we need a mental health day. Like calm yourself down.
I took one yesterday. I told work that I needed the day. And
sometimes you need a day, and you know what, that's what personal days are for, that's what like sick days are for, like college students deserve them as well. The cutie little TA, who I still think is possibly going to be some sort of a love interest, mm-hmm. is trying to like cheer her up. It's like, you should like go have fun, it's Halloween night.
Do we know what this man's name is?
No. Jeremy, I don't know, he looks kind of like a Jeremy.
Okay, Jeremy.
Or a Tommy. Jeremy. Tommy the TA.
Okay, which I mean, like, whichever name you want to go by, because from this moment forward, that's going to be his name in our
mind.
Could
be Jeremy Tommy, so JT, a little bit of a JT.
I love
the
it.
TA.
Perfect. JT, yeah, so I love that.
JT the TA has like very much the like cascading bangs that Dawson did. And he definitely is going to be dating Buffy at some point and get her out of her depression era.
Yeah.
But
not
yeah.
as good as James Vanderbeek, but I guess we'll take him. We'll take him. So yeah, he seems to cheer him her up. I hate, like, I swear none of my professors were this evil.
No, I've never. I feel like every show we watch and cover has these professors that are so just like rude and like, I don't know, careless, thoughtless. Like, I don't really know that, like, tactless. Like, they're so strict. And I don't remember ever having this sort of experience. Granted, like, obviously smaller classrooms, it's noticed more if you're absent. And I had some, like, larger classes in the beginning of my college experience.
Yeah.
But even still, like, I don't know. I just feel like they're so harsh on these people. It's like, give them a break. Like, college is stressful. Life is stressful.
Life is very stressful. I mean, there was times I told you about the time where I got swine flu and my professor didn't let me take the midterm, even though I was like not allowed on campus. She literally did not let me take the midterm. And I was like, I have swine flu. Retake the midterm.
I will sue you.
I don't know. No, ultimately it was for the better, because like literally everybody failed that midterm and I got to write a paper. So it like turned up roses for me, but that was pretty unfortunate. So basically Buffy does wind up going to the Halloween party. She's dressed up as Red Riding Hood. Her mom makes the costume. She and Joyce have a very good conversation, because Buffy's basically like, my dad hates me. And Joyce's mom was like, no, like your dad like loved spending time with you when you were a kid. And I do like the fact that Joyce was like, our divorce is not your fault, because I'm pretty sure Joyce has said our divorce was your fault.
At least she's insinuated as much in the past. Yeah. And like, yeah, I did. I really enjoyed this conversation between them, because it's not often that we get to see them talking about Buffy's dad and kind of the lack of a relationship with him. And I loved that. Like Buffy was able to have a heart to heart with her mom about this, because I don't know that previously their relationship was like in that space.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad for her when she said, like, you open your heart to someone and he bails on you. Maybe it's just easier not to let anyone in. Like, that is so devastating for Buffy to say, like, that because of her relationship with her father and the fact that he pretty much doesn't give her the time of day, it seems like, at this point, and isn't there for her. She has daddy issues, and it like obviously then Angel leaving, right? Like all of this stuff kind of piles on top of each other, and she's not adapting as well to college as I think some of the other characters are. And so she's really going through a rough time, but she does end up going to the party. She readjusts this like little Red Riding Hood cloak that she has, and I love how she has all her weapons in her little basket. I thought that was very funny and cute. On the other hand, someone who seemingly is also going through some struggles is Willow, where she talks about like, oh, she feels like she's plateaued in terms of her witchcraft and her Wicca stuff. And the next step will be like conjuration, abjuration, but it's also like more difficult and more dangerous. And I thought it was really interesting, Sarah, that both Buffy and Oz were kind of on the side of, it's okay if you like don't want to do it. And if it's too much, like you don't need to, instead of like, you know, being like, you've got this, Willow, you can do it. Like, it was really interesting mm-hmm. to see both of them be like, maybe you should take a step back if it's too much.
Yeah. Especially because I guess like it really just depends on what Willow's ultimate goals are. And I think that she wants to be as valuable as Buffy. So I think that doing these little like practical magics, like, you know, changing your hairstyle type of magic isn't what is good. Like, she, and also she's like always been a student that thrives or tries to thrive, tries mm-hmm. to like excel. So stopping is not, and stops her studying is not really an option for her. But obviously the further you get down for magic or towards magic, you know, there's a lot to learn. And, you know, she's going to get into the black magic, a little black magic. She's going to be so bad. She's going to become like an actual like evil.
I guarantee we get like, because we've already seen like vampy Willow from like the alternate universe. But like, I guarantee we get like black magic Willow at some point as well.
It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. Yeah. And like, I guess the question is like, who pushes it to? Like, is it going to be Buffy that pushes her in that direction? Because Buffy doesn't believe in her because she's a sidekick, which she is a sidekick. But
well, here's the thing, though. I enjoyed Willow standing up to Buffy at the party when Buffy is, because Buffy, as she often does, is like doling out orders of you guys stay here. I'm going to go do this. You should leave, blah, blah, blah. And I really liked Willow standing up for herself because at this point, she does have a little bit more confidence. We've talked a lot about Willow's journey and her getting more confidence in herself and in her contribution to the team. And she's right. Like she says, like being Slayer doesn't make you the boss. Like when it comes to vampires, sure, Buffy is the one you should call. She has the stakes. She knows what she's doing. She's a Slayer. She has like the inherent physical abilities. But in terms of making decisions that affect the entire group and Buffy trying to keep her friends out of it, like, haven't we moved past that? Like, we're four seasons in, Buffy. Yeah. Like, haven't we moved past you trying to be the like hero, martyr, like save everyone else shtick? Like, I'm with Willow. Like, you don't get to tell me what to do just because you're the Slayer doesn't mean you're in charge.
Yeah, but also, I mean, like, at what point is there like too many cooks in the kitchen? You know, like,
well, that's why it's more democracy. Like, they all should be able to have a say. If you want to stay and fight, fight. If you don't, leave. Like, I don't think Buffy should be able to dictate who gets like, to be around. Because we've seen, Sarah, time and time again, that Buffy is better when she has her Scoobies helping her. That is her asset. That is like the biggest upside to her as a Slayer, right? Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. I just like, I don't know. I get it. Like, I do agree with you. Like, I know that Buffy does best when she works together as a team, but I don't know. Willow is, I don't like it when Willow, she seems so bratty at times and it might just be her voice. Like, and then that's not really her fault, but I don't know. Like, I feel as like my default is to trust what Buffy says because oftentimes people don't listen to her and it's annoying to me because like in my opinion I think that Buffy is usually right. So I don't know, I would listen to Buffy, but also Buffy's my favorite character, so I would want to listen to Buffy. Like I trust Buffy and I trust her instincts, but also you're right, like she can't do it on her own. But also maybe Willow shouldn't be doing these black magics quite yet. She can't even like get Rat Amy back.
Yeah, I can't wait till Rat Amy actually comes back.
Oh yeah, I mean, did we talked about that Rat Amy went to college, right? You saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like until what? Okay, this is my thing. Once Willow gets Rat Amy back into a human, then she's ready to move on to the next steps. Mm-hmm. Until then, I don't think she's ready.
Sure, and like, obviously, we don't really see her truly do like the conjuration sort of magic because when she does, it's part of like the fear house, like, you know, whatever, embedding itself in her.
The green fairies start going after her. I don't understand what was happening, but apparently
no one does.
Green sparkle light fairies were going after her. We're trying to get her to do something. And I can't, my brain cannot process what that was, but I know it was bad.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it's like, I want to talk a little bit about like both Willow and Oz as a couple, because I really appreciated after Buffy kind of says, oh, I don't know if it's necessarily a good idea. Like, if it's too much, you don't have to do it. And Oz basically says the same thing. And I love him using him turning into a werewolf as like an example, where he says every time he wolfs out, he hits something like deep and dark and it's not fun. And so he's scared for her, but he also says like he'll be there for her no matter what she chooses. Like, he's extremely supportive. I feel like this is exactly what Willow maybe needs to hear, is like, listen, this is really difficult. It's a lot. I'm going to be here for you, but also it's a lot. And it's like, maybe you shouldn't, you know. I appreciated what he had to say.
Yeah. I do like Oz in those moments. Like, I think that he has, like a really good way to support Willow. And I think that maybe he has like a way to like ground her at times, because I think that, I don't know. So I did enjoy that as well. I felt like what he was saying made a lot of sense. I like that he was able to compare his own experiences. Did Willow seem to like listen to Oz at all? I don't think so, right? Like, they kind of got distracted, because then in the fear house, like, Oz turned into a werewolf, and then like they didn't really get to like explore that more, right?
Right. I think they kind of left it as like, he's going to be supportive, she can make her own decision kind of thing. And Seems like she does still want to pursue it. It's just like, she's going to be careful. But yeah, Oz turning into a werewolf made me so sad, because he was so scared. And like, you know, Willow, of course, is like, we have to get chains, we have to like tie you up, like we have to do something. And he is basically like, I need to get away from you. Like, there's no time. He scratches her, which of course scares him. And oh my God, when he was sitting in the bathtub, just being like, you're not going to change, you're not going to change, you're not. It was heartbreaking. I felt so bad for him, because obviously it's something he can't control. And you have to imagine Sarah, his biggest fear is hurting Willow or someone else while he's changed. So I just felt so awful for him. And I was like, okay, so it's no surprise that the house is like separating them all from one another, right? Like, it's easier to get into someone's head when they're separated.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The Xander storyline, I kind of want to shift and talk about him a little bit. I thought this was very funny and very on the nose in terms of what his fear would be. Because all episode long, it's been like, oh, well, he didn't get an invite to the Halloween party. Then the Scoobies do invite him. Anya comes over. I stan Anya so much. I can't even help it. She comes over and she's like annoyed he hasn't called her. She says, oh, I want to go out for our anniversary because it's been 1 week since we copulated. and I just love her so much, where she's just like, I don't understand why you hang out with the Scoobies. Like, you don't have much in common. Like, you live at home. They don't. They go to college. You don't. And she's just like really pushing the point home that Xander, it doesn't have as much in common with the Scoobies anymore. And so for his fear to be that literally no one can hear or see him was so spot on and felt very, very true.
Yeah. I thought that was really good too. Anya, I really am enjoying the Anya storyline. I'm feeling like a little defensive over her, only because I just feel like I can't really get a read on if Xander is into her or not. Like, I think that any feelings or interest he has in her is probably overshadowed with his like pure fear of her.
Interesting. I kind of agree with you at the beginning of the episode, right? Like, he's like, you just showing up now? Like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, you didn't call. He says, well, you said you were over me. And she's like, well, you have to read into it. And he's like, I'm literally taking you at your word, at what you said. But, and so then they're like, okay, they're going to go on a date, right? Then the whole party thing happens. Now, I think all through this episode, he's not really taking her very seriously. Like he does, I think he likes her and they have chemistry. And I think that's about all for him. However, I think when she goes to the effort that she goes through to save him and like hugs him with like relief when they do get saved, I do feel like it starts to turn for him. Like, I do think he's starting to get feelings for her. And I could just be the biggest lasagna shipper of all time. Like, truly, it could just be that. But I really feel like he didn't necessarily take her feelings seriously until she went through all that effort to save him, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious if that's the case. Like, I'm very curious to see how the next episode or two plays out, because if he continues to be dismissive, the more I see Anya, the more I like her, which means like the more like defensive I feel and protective I feel.
It's like how we felt about Cordy, right? Like we were like, you know, very protective of Cordy in the Zordy relationship and very similarly protective of Anya in the lasagna relationship.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure that like he treats her well. But also it's just so funny because like she's like a literal demon that is like thousands and thousands of years old and has killed many, many, many men. And like it just shouldn't work. Like it shouldn't be a thing. But I guess it is. It's very funny. I really like her. I really liked how throughout the episode after Xander was trapped in the house, like how concerned she was. And like so she goes like she goes right to Giles and she's like, I think Xander's in trouble. And then he goes, okay, we need to like do this or the other thing. And she's like, but what about Xander? Like she's so focused on Xander. And then like when they get to the house later, she's like, she only cares about Xander. Like the other people, like, I don't care. Like she doesn't care. I mean, and she's always like, what about Xander? Is like Xander okay? Like is Xander in there? Like it's the way that she says it. It's like really, really cute. It's just like, and especially because of like the fact that like she's never gone through this before. She's never had these like, you know, human feelings. It's just like very, it's like almost childlike, but it's like very, I don't know. I guess it's like baby's first crush.
Well, like, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's very much like reading as she's a teenager and doesn't understand hormones that she's going through. And it very much feels like teenager first crush energy. So it probably reads as like a little more immature than, you know, you'd imagine being that they're like college age at this point. Mm-hmm. But her in her little bunny outfit, doing her little hop hopping around the house, her like the fact that she's afraid of bunnies, I find adorable and charming. Like I love her so much. Yeah. I was not expecting to like love Anya as much as I do now, being where we started with her. But now I'm like, please keep her around because I find her so endearing. I love her.
All the nervous energy that she was putting, like when they were waiting to open up the door or cut the open door, like she was like doing like fiddling with her hands, like so nervous about Xander. Yeah, like it was very endearing, very cute. I really like her too. I just feel like she's just like a one season character and like, you know, like that's just like, I just like smell it, but like I really like her. So I don't know, that kind of like bums me out to think that, I don't know, we have like maybe like one or two seasons with Anya. But maybe that's not the case.
Who knows? Like we could be totally wrong. Like characters like Spike come back. Like there's characters, Daddy Vamps came back. Like there are characters that we never expected to come back that have. And it's possible that like people loved Anya just as much as we do in the real time. And I feel like, because like you said, it shouldn't make sense, right? She is like a man-hating demon. Like it shouldn't make sense that she's with Xander. but it kind of does. And she talks to him in a way that is so blunt. And I think he kind of needs to hear sometimes, like just as much as like we said with Cordelia, right? Like she pushed him. I feel like Anya does as well. And I think he kind of needs someone like Anya right now. I feel like he's feeling a little bit lost, a little bit confused, and he almost needs someone like Anya to like push him. So I really, really love her. I loved her in her little bunny outfit, her and Giles as a little team. I was really into, especially when Daddy Giles whips out a chainsaw. Everyone's vaginas are quaking. Like,
yeah,
Giles with a chainsaw. He's such a baddie. Ripper, come on. Like,
I know.
He had a chainsaw. It was great. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, he got the job done. That's the thing. Like, yeah, I know that he doesn't have a job, but he gets the job done.
Yeah.
So he has the chainsaw. He opens up. Something happens. I don't know.
Again, it didn't make a ton of sense, but the door disappears when Anya tries to get in. And so like he comes in, he has a chainsaw, he's able to get the house open, but then they're like all trapped in there together.
Yeah.
And then there's the symbol on the floor. So he has the book to like figure out how to get rid of the fear demon. This was one of my favorite bits of the entire episode. When he's reading, he's like, destroy the symbol. And Buffy immediately goes over, no questions asked, just punches the symbol and like on the ground, breaks it. And then he continues, is not the way to get
it. Have you ever seen that like meme or like that skit where people are like on the phone and was like,
yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking
about? Unplug the blue wire. If you've unplugged the blue wire. Oh, no, you shouldn't have done that. Because it's like people with ADHD or something like that, right?
Yes, that's the thing. It's like it's just like a plug thing where it's just like they're talking and they're like, oh, please see the blue wire. And then like somebody like unplugs it and is like, do not unplug it.
Yes.
And then they plug it back in. If you plug it back in, I mean, if you take
if
it
you
out,
plugged it, don't plug it in. Yes.
Yeah, yes. So it's very much that energy. So funny.
It was so great. And so she punches the hole in the center and then the fear demon is like summoned, but he is so tiny.
Why though?
Because that was the joke. And because like, I love the stinger on the end of the episode is Giles saying that like the picture in the book was like to actual size.
Oh,
which was very funny.
Like, I don't get it. Like some shit, like
it's just camp, right? Like it's all just campy.
Yeah.
And yeah. I love Xander being like, but do we have to be afraid of him or something? And Giles is like, don't be tacky.
Seriously, don't mock the fear demon. It'll just get it even more angry.
You're gonna wind him up.
Yeah. Well, it seems as though we beat the fear demon, right?
Yeah, they like stomp on him and that's it. So like it's, again, while I didn't think I like the concept more than I liked the execution. I like the idea of a fear house or a fear demon where everyone sees their worst fears. So I mean let's highlight them all, right? So like Oz is turning into a werewolf when he has no control over it and hurting like his friends, right? Willow is not being able to control her magic or being bad at witchcraft,
right?
Xander's is no one will hear and see him.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily understand what Buffy's is. It seems like all the men in your life are going to leave you.
Everybody, like everyone's going to leave you.
Sure. I don't feel like they did a great job at portraying that is my problem, because she falls into a basement and then like people start grabbing her and the guy who broke his neck is just like, everyone's going to leave you. And then that was kind of it. And I don't really understand how it got resolved. Like they all have been in the same room.
And then there's like some skeleton dude, like, oh, the skeleton. Yeah. I think that it was just too much shit. Like there was the spiders.
They were trying too much.
Yeah. Like I think that we needed to pare it back a little bit. And then I think I would have really liked it. But like there's so much stuff going on. And it was just like, I guess it all just has to do with fear. And that is all manifested by the fear demon. I suppose somebody was afraid of skeletons or
someone's afraid of eyeballs
or breaking their neck or something. Like, I guess like there's a place for everything. I mean,
So then did the guy with the broken neck like actually break his neck?
I don't know.
That's where this is. See, this is where it gets like very confusing and kind of unnecessary.
I guess it's none of my business what happened. I don't know. Like, I guess it doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Yeah.
Because everyone's okay.
Everyone ends up being fine, it seems. Yeah.
What's your fear demon? Like, what's happening? Like, what are you seeing in the fear house?
Oh, definitely like some like dogs getting hurt. Like that's like I really like that is my big like anxiety is like
your
dog
own,
health anxiety. Yes.
Dogs. Okay.
Yeah. But I also think it would be hard for me to watch like any dog being like hurt. Right. Like that's probably what I would end up seeing. I don't know. What about you?
It used to been like, it used to be like some like crazy ass dentist and like teeth and shit. Like, but, proud to say that I've kind of like beaten my fear of the dentist by just yapping at them.
Knowing where they live so you can take them out.
No, I don't know where my dentist live. I don't know where they live. And so what am I currently afraid of? Like, I'm afraid of everything. I think like, I'm like afraid of like car crashes, very afraid of that. My brakes not working in particular. But I don't know.
That's a fair one.
Yeah, I'm literally afraid of pretty much everything. So
car crashes scare me too. That because that's a recurring nightmare I have. So I could see that being involved, but that'd be hard to recreate in a house.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, I'm afraid of people leaving me too. I'm afraid of rejection. I guess like that's probably it. Like that's my like oldest wound, rejection.
Yeah, and that's easy to recreate in a house so like that.
I think that that's probably where I would go. Like, I think that that's like, yeah, like I said, my oldest wound, my deepest cut. So it'd probably just be rejected. Poor baby Sarah. Poor me.
I want to mention quickly, because we kind of talked briefly about the outfits, but we have Buffy as Red Riding Hood. Xander is James Bond, because he mentions, in case we turn back in. Look, I love it.
I like the way that he's thinking.
I do too. I think it makes sense. Willow is Joan of Arc.
Disgusting. Absolutely revolting. I hate this bitch sometimes. She's so hot, but she just has to
wear. This is the reason that you're like on Buffy's side in the argument, because you're like, Willow, you literally are dressed like a medieval person or whatever.
Probably. Yeah. Like I hate Uggos, honestly.
I like this outfit. I thought it was cute.
Why would you? Nobody wears because this.
I don't live by the Mean Girls rules of Halloween is just an excuse to dress like a slut. Like, I thought it was hysterical when Willow's walking down the hall and she's passing a bunch of people in costumes and there's a couple arguing and the man is dressed as a lobster and the woman is literally dressed like a present. And you can't even see her arms. I don't know how you even sit in this costume. It's ridiculous. It was so funny. And
okay. And then what's Oz dressed as?
Oz is wearing a name tag that says God.
Okay, that's very odd.
Very low effort. Like, yeah. Low and then Anya obviously is the bunny, which is very cute.
10 out of 10.
And see, then, how are you okay with Anya the bunny? Wait, obviously that's not a slutty outfit.
It's cute. I don't know.
I don't think Joan of Arc is supposed to be cute. That's the point.
But make it cute. I don't know. Make it cute. And then Giles is doing cultural appropriation for Halloween.
Yeah.
Giles, we can't wear sombreros anymore, buddy.
Not allowed. Yeah.
We can't do it. It's not right. Yeah. You know, no pinatas for you. No Olays for you.
No. No crackers. No queso. Nothing.
Crackers?
Oh, not crackers. Chips. tortilla chips. One other brief thing I want to mention is we do see them cross paths with like the military people again. They obviously think they're in costume. So like they're always kind of hovering in the background. I'm very interested to see like when we're going to see what they have to do, you know?
Yeah. I'm like in between, is the military gathering supernatural folk to create their own supernatural army against who?
Yeah.
Somebody. I don't know. Buffy?
Well, because remember way back, there was like the invisible person. They like had a bunch of invisible people at like invisible people school.
Yes, that's true. They were they were in school and they were training them to do something. So I think that it's like a supernatural army that they're going to try to use against people. And then they're probably teaching them like, the world hates you. You're never going to be accepted. You have to work with us. And then I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Or it's like, you know, we know that Sunnydale is, did you know it was on Hellmouth actually?
It's on a Hellmouth?
Yeah, I can't believe it. Like I just
brand new information.
You know what's crazy is that like we're four seasons into this and they haven't mentioned that. And I had to like find it on Tumblr. And then like once I saw it on Tumblr, then I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. But yeah. Like, I wasn't sure if you knew that. It's on Hellmouth. Mm-hmm. And maybe the government is like, we need our own supernatural army to combat the bad supernatural that is constantly coming. That's like giving them the benefit of the doubt, but probably not the case.
No, I tend not to give the government the benefit of the doubt. It feels like they're just like, let's just build up a supernatural army so we can colonize everywhere. You know, that feels more in line with how they feel.
They're like, you know what sounds good? Greenland.
Exactly. You know what Greenland needs? Yeah. Invisible people and vampires.
Yeah. And how about the Gulf of Sunnydale? How do you feel about that?
Stop. The Gulf of Sunnydale. Yeah. Gulf of Hellmouth.
I think that sounds pretty good, actually.
Mm, that's a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into Cordy's Corner.
Talking about Cordy's Corner, I have no fucking clue what happened in this one either.
Yeah.
I
so swear
to God, I watched these episodes. Twice.
Why did you watch this episode twice? Wait, listen,
because I don't understand.
Okay, let me explain. So this episode of Angel, I Fall to Pieces.
Hands.
Yeah. Basically, the gist of it is Creepo Doctor is a surgeon and has the ability to like pull off body parts and send them places. So like eye, his hands. And he is basically like stalking and harassing this woman that he did a surgery on before and won't he leave her alone. So Angel has to hop in and help out. Meanwhile, poor Cordy is going undercover because Angel is like, I feel bad asking people for money. Cordy has to live, Angel. How is she going to buy designer clothes? How is she going to pay for rent, Angel? Cordy's got to live. So she is like doing her due diligence. Meanwhile, Doyle is like some weird ass That's So Raven guy where he gets these like visions of what's happening. And
wait, I have a question. Do you think that all porcupines are psychics and we just have no idea?
I mean, we can't speak to them, so it's certainly possible.
I think that this is a fact that we just have to know that porcupines can see the future.
Yeah.
And that's that.
The other question I have, because last episode, if you all will remember, Angel destroyed the ring that allows him to go out into the sunlight. And let me tell you, how difficult must it be for Angel to operate his business on a day-to-day basis when he can't enter the sunlight? They're paying fast and loose with these rules. He is all up in these offices in the middle of the day.
Oh, that's true. Maybe like, it was overcast.
He needs a trader's cloak. Because he needs the cloak that goes literally all the way over his face so that he doesn't get scalded. No,
I think that the sun probably just seeps through. I don't know what they do.
He needs to get UV protected. Because you know how they, nowadays, when we were children, back in our day, you had to lather your skin up in sunscreen when you went out in the summer. Now, for little kids, they have like full sleeves bathing suits that are like UV protected.
No, if you wear that, you're a loser. No.
They're children. What are you talking about?
No. My child My child is not going to be wearing some loser ass like skin.
Your child is going to get sunburnt because you're pale. I hate to break it to you.
Well, what about my husband?
He is also very pale and an indoor child.
He's an indoor child. That's true.
So are pasty and you're going to have a pasty child and that child will need to be protected from the sun's harmful rays.
Sleeves. That's such my kid would be beat up if they wore sleeves to the local
every school. Kid wears them now. No, every it's not kid true. It's because not true. They need to be protected from the sun's harmful UV rays.
No, we're not going to be putting fucking like skin suits on. No,
I'm just saying. Anyway, Angel apparently is able to do whatever the fuck he wants, whenever the fuck he wants, because he never gets burnt by the sun. But either way, they end up saving this man. And my favorite, like, part of this whole thing was that Angel, like, buried different body parts of his in, like, different locations in steel boxes under the ground so he won't be able to escape and put himself together.
I can't. This was the stupidest shit that I've ever seen. Like, this girl is basically being harassed by this doctor guy. He changed her PIN number to the day that they met, which,
what a creep.
I think the PIN number, I think he said it was 3589. That is 4 days before I was literally born. So,
wow, look at that connection.
Yeah. So, so that was exciting, I guess. And then, yeah, like, she, I don't know, hands. She woke up. There was hands underneath.
I did not like that. I did not like that at all. I did not like the hands under the blankets. I didn't like the creepy eyeball glaring at her.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so the doctor, he sends out his hands on a special hand task. The hands are just crawling. You would think that the hands would be grabbing.
Sure.
If I was a creepy doctor, no.
Well, that's what the hands were doing under the sheets. You saw them go under the sheets.
They were, okay, but were they grabbing her, or were they just, like, walking on her?
I imagined they were grabbing.
Groping.
He looked like a groper.
Okay, so they were groping her in the sleep. That is very creepy.
The whole thing is so creepy. And then the cop catches him, and he's like, well, just put your hands where I can see them. And he holds up his, like, nubs because his hands are inside.
This is the funniest thing ever. Because he's like, he's like, I'm going to go in and, like, I'm going to send my hands in, and they're going to do, like, these murder things.
How
and
does I will he not see get anything.
I will not get caught. It's none of our business. Once again, it's none of our business. he's like, I'm going to send in my hands, but I'm going to be here. And then I can have, like, a alibi because my body is here. Nobody, like, you know, like, I'm going to be seen. But then he's like, I thought that, like, this man was going to be wearing gloves. I thought they had a plan for the fingerprints. No, he does not. Because then they're like, we're going to take fingerprints. And we're going to prove it's him. It's like, but do we not even take that into consideration, Mr. Man?
No, because the cops do almost nothing. Like, and because the only reason that she even gets a patrol guy outside her apartment is because Angel called in a special order with his, like, new blonde friend, Kathy? Who's a cop.
What's her name? Kathy? What's her name?
Oh, why do you have to ask me this? You know, I don't know.
I will tell you, her eyes are blue sapphires, the most beautiful blue eyes that I've ever seen. She was looking very pretty. The blonde was looking right. No clue what her name is.
Kate.
So close. I was so close.
You almost got it.
I almost got it. Kate was doing Kate things, I guess. She was in there. She was helping out. But yeah, like, did this doctor dude, like, did not plan. And then also, like, Angel made up this, like, stupid lie because he's like, my fake wife.
Oh, that was so stupid.
He's like, my fake wife needs brain surgery. You're the only one that could do it. And
here's the cash.
Here and then Mr. Doctor is like, I won't do it. And then he needs cash. And then he was like, I'll do it, but for cash. But then it was a trap. And Cordy even warned Angel that this could be a trap, but Angel didn't take it seriously. So long story short, Angel saves the day. They are now specializing in man creeps that are men.
Yeah, which most are. And finally, Cordy and Doyle convince Angel that they need to be paid for their services. And Doyle does mention he finds Angel attractive. And I was like, got my eye on that. That's interesting to note.
That's pretty that's pretty fun.
But overall, I would say this episode of Angel was way more of a dud than last episode.
I would say that I could have not watched that episode in my life.
You definitely didn't need to watch it twice. I only watched it once, and that was
enough. Admittedly, I think it was like 1.5. Like, I watched the majority of it, and then I stopped because I was like, this is boring. And then I started from the beginning, and then I was like, watched it, and I was like, this is still boring, but now I have to finish it. And I finished it exactly 20 seconds before I came on to this podcast.
Also worth noting, our friend Michael in San Francisco did not include this one on his list, so that tracks. So far, surprise. Michael is 10 out of 10 good recommendations.
Surprise!
Yeah.
Yeah, I could live without this one.
Yeah, whatever, you know. All right, let me reveal next week's Buffy episode title, and then we'll go over some feedback. Season 4, episode 5 is titled Beer Bad.
Beer bad. Beer bad. Buffy's drinking beer. Beer.
And it's Buffy, bad.
I hate beer. I've never found a beer that I've liked. I don't like disgusting. Beer. I don't like cider. I don't like ale. Okay,
cider is delicious.
No, I don't like any of it. I don't like hard seltzer. I don't like any of it. You know what I like? You know what I like. What do I like?
You like wine.
Yeah.
You specifically like red wine.
Right.
You like the Snoop Dogg wine.
I do. Thank you. And then what hard liquor do I like?
Oh, only tequila.
Exactly. Thank you.
You love a margarita.
Yes. The case is closed. Goodbye. That's it. I'm leaving the studio now. Goodbye. Remove. Okay, I'm back.
Great. So beer bad. I don't know what that's going to be about, but I guess we'll find out next week.
Yeah.
We got an email from Joy. Hi, Joy. And she says, hey guys, long time no feedback. I've been keeping up with listening. I just haven't been able to carve out some time to send in an email in a while. So here it is. First, a very belated congratulations to Sarah on her nuptials.
Thank you.
So kind. Love Joy. Second, I'm so glad you liked Faith as much as you did. She's one of my best friend's favorite characters, and her story is very well done. I know I said season 2 is my favorite, and it probably always will be, but going through season 3, it might be tied, which is shocking because that was never the case before. As for season 4, it has two of the lowest rated episodes of the series and a big bad that's not most people's favorites, which might be why it's not at the top of the top season for the majority. But it's actually my husband's favorite season. And Anya is his favorite character.
We love Anya. That's so fun. We are big. Well, I don't think that I'm a lasagna shipper. I just think that I'm an Anya stan. But yeah.
That's fine. I'm also fine with that. But I am a lasagna shipper. Joy continues, and she's amazing, so I hope you continue to enjoy her. I'm so glad y'all decided to watch Angel, even if you find it boring at times. I will always love Buffy just a little bit more, but I think Angel might be the better show, and it has one of the absolute best series finales I've ever seen. Whoa.
Is it because Angel gets killed? Is that why it's good?
He walks out into the sun and just burns.
And then also somehow something is misting. So it's just like he mists away, but then he also burns away.
Yeah. He dusts up. Yeah. Goodbye. And then in the background, Doyle's like, should have got the ring.
That would have solved a lot of problems.
Let me tell you, Cordelia and her hair go on the most diverse journey on Angel. So I can't wait to see y'all react to her looks.
Yeah.
I can't. Her hair was
doing big. Something this episode.
It was doing really something. Big.
It wasn't a good something, but
no, there's something.
It was something.
Mm-hmm. Doyle is adorable. There will be other characters introduced, and the show will be a bit more rounded. And if you like bad singing, you're in for a treat later.
I'll tell
nothing you. Nothing can top the Dawson's Creek singing, though.
Oh, Joey's singing.
Oh, well, not that. That was awful. No, the I Got the Blues.
No, I Got the Blues is not bad singing. That was,
I mean, it is, but it's incredible. That's the thing. Was,
blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. Fear itself is another great Halloween episode with a running gag of what Anya finds scary throughout the show. After all, it could be bunnies. That's all I've got for now. Till next time. Bye. Thanks so much, Joy.
I really want a bunny, or at least I want to hold a bunny. I love bunnies. I think they're so cute.
They are, but I'm generally against pets that have to be in a cage because you have to clean the cage, and I'm just not about that.
No. Free range bunnies, babe.
Oh, well then, yeah, then go live your life.
Haven't you ever seen those bunnies that like get literally the entire house?
Like the lion head ones?
It's all bunnies.
I think I've heard that you could potty train a bunny to a litter box before.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
See, that I'm all for. Like, go forth and prosper. Like, get yourself a cute little bunny. You know, they have the biggest, floppiest ears. Adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Little twitchy noses. What's not, oh, not to like?
So cute. I'm just Googling bunnies right now.
Anyway,
bunnies.
If you want to send in feedback, shit90spod.com, shit90spod@gmail.com, you know where to send it. We always appreciate the feedback, and I love getting to hear people's perspectives. Like, oh, we had gotten another Sarah, talk more about bunnies so I could find this YouTube comment that we got.
Yeah, I got this bunny that I see that I really, really like. I think it is a lion's head, which is my favorite sort of bunny.
Because they're cute.
And they have like a lot of like hair, and I like long haired animals. So that's pretty much what I'm into here.
Okay. I found the comment.
I was just about to share this fucking bunny, bitch.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Share the bunny.
Look at that cute bunny.
Oh, that is a cute bunny.
Okay. How do I unshare it? Remove from stage. Very much.
So we did get a comment on our YouTube page, which if you didn't know, we are on YouTube. You can find us, Shit 90s Pod, from Bloom Acupuncture. That there's a lot of like discussion on the ages of Spike and Angel, which I thought was interesting. But the other context I wanted to give was they said Buffy aired at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays and Angel aired right after at 9 p.m. So definitely that must have been a really fun night, like when it was airing.
That tracks, yeah.
And they also said the fandom wanted Spike back on our screens with a passion. And they said, I don't want to spoil you about Drew, but they also did love her at the time. So like people did really love Drew. Remember we had said we weren't sure. We like figured people really did like Spike. Mm-hmm. They also said, I'm pretty sure Doyle in his demon form could smell what Brick's Angel had touched in the sewer. Or at least that's what I've always assumed.
Oh, he can sniff.
Mm-hmm.
That is not one of my superpowers. I have a really bad sense of smell, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, I can't. And Adam has the best sense of smell, the strongest sense of smell ever existed. Mm-hmm. And annoyingly so.
So thank you so much, Bloom Acupuncture. Also, they had mentioned in the episode that we talked about with Kathy, the roommate, as a Gen Xer, I can say we never kept a phone log. We got a normal monthly phone bill that was itemized for all toll calls. So local calls were free, but you had to pay extra for long distance. And then we highlighted our own calls and totaled up the bill that way. That's wild. Wow. Yeah. Anyway,
Like a lot of effort.
Seriously though. So, thank you everyone for your comments and your feedback. Like I said, Shit 90s Pod, if you want to send in more, anything else from you, Sarah? Anything else you want to chat about before we get on out of here so you can continue your search for the perfect bunny?
We just celebrated 1 year at Whirlwind Podcast and released a podcast kind of just like going down memory road, some of our favorite moments and talking about the conception of Whirlwind Podcast. So if you have not listened to that, you should check it out.
Incredible. You know where to find me at the Just Sterling on all social media. And we'll be back next week with season 4, episode 5, Beer Bad. Until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.